In faith, we set aside the Sabbath to be holy and worship God as one body. Let us begin our worship by standing as we are able and using the words of Apostle Peter, lifting our own voices to the Lord. Sisters and brothers, let us gather together with glad and generous hearts.
For many signs and wonders are being done among us.
Let us break bread together and share our lives in common.
Let us give what we can to all who have needs, so that all people, no matter who they are, may regard us with goodwill.
Let us devote ourselves to our prayers and to the gospel.
For in this way, God will add to our numbers every day.
Please join me in singing hymn number 387. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Friends, and as much as God is our shepherd, let us not fear, but let us confess our sin that God may restore our souls. Holy One, we confess to you and to our Mother that we have not always followed Christ's examples.
When we have been abused, we have been abusive in return.
We have gone astray.
Lead us back to your fold. Guard our souls in Jesus' name. Amen.
The promise of our faith is that we entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. We need not feel threatened, for we will be returned to righteousness. In Christ we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Having been brought back into the safety of God's fold, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please share this peace with those around you with a wave or a nod.
Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will strengthen us to be devoted to the teachings of your word and follow it into eternal life. Amen. Now I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and it can be found in the New Testament on page 120. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Hey, Olivia, you want to come up? I do like that hymn. Thank you, choir. Thank you. And thank you, Dorothy, for pitching in at the last minute. Our second reading comes from John's Gospel. And as I mentioned with Olivia, it is Good Shepherd Sunday. So listen now as Jesus talks about the Good Shepherd. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life and take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." This is God's joyous word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So, being with family this last week was a blessing. I'm glad I was able to go. It was emotionally challenging, but still a blessing. My cousin Cheryl is mending now in a good rehab facility, and her brother is managing as best he can. They live together. We discovered that we really need to find a way to provide better care for their 90-year-old stepmother. Care that she will find acceptable. You know how it is. And this is life, and it's okay. But I still felt like a shepherd, caring for a flock of hurting sheep. Now, looking around, you can see many different shepherds. For instance, my sister shares a house with her best friend of 41 years. And together they have two chihuahuas and a mutt named Max. And while that's not as many dogs as my friend in Cincinnati has six dogs, it's still a herd. And I wouldn't call either home a zoo. There's not a wide enough variety of critters for that. But their places are abundantly full of barking and tail wagging and jumping up and down, and it really is a lot of fun. Both my sis and my friend live in the suburbs with spacious fenced-in backyards with gates which open to the front of the house. And the only time the gates should be open is when you need to carry yard tools to the front gardens. But occasionally, someone opens the gate and forgets to close it. And you know what happens next? Yeah, those friendly four-pawed buddies decide it's time to go visit the neighborhood. Now, I love those pups, but for all the fun and joy they bring to a household, multiple dogs are just way too much work for me. Instead, I have two cats right now, Mommy and Shiner. And Shiner is one of the four little ones another kitty dropped on my front porch 7 springs ago. They may have been community kitties then, but I got them fed and fixed and vaccinated, so they're mine. And Shiner still behaves like a feral cat. But because he's mine, he no longer gets to roam the neighborhood. I worry about their safety, so neither cat goes outside. They don't really seem to mind, but they do sit in windowsills and look out while sunning themselves. And most of the time, these two make it look like they're too cool to care much about what people are doing. They're stereotypically independent, indifferent, and elusive. But that wasn't Mommy's little kitten named Princess. Many times when the bath or bedroom door was closed, I'd hear this gentle paw, paw, paw kind of thing at the door. You know, like Sheldon Cooper in Big Bang Theory. Knock, 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 Penny. Knock, 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 Penny. Knock, 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 Penny. Only this sound is much, much, much quieter. For Princess, the door was a wall or a locked gate, a barrier to being with the person who's behind it. Closing her out made me sad. I really did like scratching her behind her ears and wiggling a favorite toy for her to stalk and pounce on. But there were very good reasons to close the doors. Sermon writing was one of them. You need to be focused. But being shut out must have made her feel like she wasn't wanted. Too insignificant to be welcomed. Perhaps unworthy. Of love. People can also feel that way when facing closed doors and walls. Doors, walls, they cut us off from relationships with others. Now, I know that with burglaries and such on the rise, self-protection is a good thing. I get it. For instance, most suburban subdivisions, including my sister's, are gated communities there in Las Vegas. To gain access, you gotta have this electronic gate control button thingy. Or if you're not that lucky, you have to call in to the person and they give you a key or code for the lock. But I mean, it's a mess. Anyway, I guess that they think that if they build tall enough walls, all out of concrete block, by the way, molesters and thieves cannot jump over them. So fences, walls, doors, gates, they're there for protection. They're how we go safely in and out of our sheltering homes. So Friday night, 2 nights ago, someone left the gate at my sis's unlatched. Yeah. And without asking their people permission, Peanut Butter and Max, the dogs, decided to go visiting the neighbors. And when we discovered their absence, my sis and I began searching for them. We called their names as we went door to door. Peanut Butter. I mean, it was nuts. But we were scared. Now, in addition to her 6 dogs, my Cincinnati friend has 3 horses, and whenever I go down there to visit, we muck their stalls, groom them, and feed the 3 boys. Now, in decent weather, the guys will have been left out into one of the pastures for the day. So in the evening when we go down, we walk down this long lane to a pastor's gate to retrieve them for the night. Even if the horses are way down by the brook, they come to my friend when she calls them. They know their shepherd's voice and are willing to follow her. Both my sister and my friend are very good shepherds. They call for their lambs and don't stop until everyone has been reunited. In a way, both women are gatekeepers. They open the gate to home, and together, my sis and I gave those puppies treats to settle them in for the night. I may be along to help guide them home, but you know, they'd not pay any attention to me if I was the only one calling for them. They don't know my voice. Now, Jesus doesn't call himself the gatekeeper. We're the gatekeepers. He calls himself the gate, not the shepherd, the gate. Or if you read the Greek text, the ancient language, the word is door. Like, you know, solid. Door, gate. Both words sound odd to our ears, don't they? Why would Jesus be a door? There's a reason for Jesus' choice of words. Just like today, sheep grazed upon open hillsides during the day in Jesus' time. And when evening came, the shepherd would then lead them to a safer space, one that had natural fencing around it. Maybe a tucked-in draw in the hillside, or some other way that was protected on three sides from the wolves and the thieves. Then the shepherd, staff in hand, robe tucked in close, would lay himself down in front of the entryway to the keep. He would know who or what was coming or going in and out, or were attempting to do so. He served as protector of the flock. The shepherd became the gate, the door, behind which the flock could feel safe, secure, even loved. And even in their kind of dull brains, the sheep knew that come morning, that shepherd would rise up and lead them to greener pastures and babbling brooks. My Lord, what a morning. These were places filled with abundant life. Anyone who cares for an animal, bovine, equine, canine, feline, you name it, knows what it is to feel concern for their animal's welfare. Now, we don't usually place ourselves at the barn door or out in the pasture with our four-legged friends, but we still work to protect them from those who'd steal or kill them. And we serve as the gatekeepers who let them in and out. But as this gate, this door, Jesus' life would swing open to all who might sense they are called to learn about him, learn from him, become part of his community. Jesus is inviting all who might hear his voice to come to him. And Jesus blocks out those who would harm his flock. In another couple of chapters, 14, I believe, Jesus will say he's the way, the truth, and the life. And in being this particular gate, the gate of way, truth, and light, he can be opened by anyone. And he wants everyone to enter God's presence through him. We may not recognize other followers, for they may worship in different ways. I keep thinking about communion in Africa where they do not pass the plates. They don't have them. They come forward. And they take bread and wine and dip it and off they go. But here, Jesus is clear that these sheep from other folds are welcome to graze with us, even become one fold with us. And that's a surprising notion for those of us who are the frozen chosen Presbyterians. Not only that, but in choosing to carry the cross to Golgotha and allowing himself to be crucified out of love for all of humankind, Jesus protected those who followed his call from thieves and bandits and all who would rob us of life, even ourselves. For when we negate the life rule that Jesus teaches his followers, we're robbing from ourselves. We're taking away the fullness of life that God so wants us to have. Like shepherds who slept out in the open, Jesus has laid down his life for the lambs. And in so dying, Jesus offered all abundant life, bountiful, overflowing life. That's an amazing opportunity for us. However, most often, we ignore the rules God has set down for us. Rather than following the Good Shepherd's voice or living into his teachings, we take the easy way around. Or at least we tell ourselves it's the easy way, right? Funny how that doesn't usually work out for us. My friends, we don't deserve Jesus' gift. Just think of it. Jesus is offering all people, not just life lived on meager sprouts of desert scrub, but a wide variety of rich green grasses and sweet Timothy hay. For some of us, those grasses may be freedom from pain and disease, or the frustration of not being able to do the heavy tasks we once accomplished without a second thought way back when. For others, the grasses may be freedom from the depression we suffer because of the way others have mistreated us. Jesus' meadow grasses could represent freedom from a lie that we've been telling ourselves, or from manipulating people we know into living by our rules and our rules alone, whether or not they reflect God's goodness. There's a small catch, though. No matter what these abundant pastures offer us in Jesus' name, all who hear his voice are freed from sin for service in God's world. And that, too, is pretty amazing. Not only are our chains broken, we get to feel the joy and peace of mind that come from living in ways that encourage happiness and wholeness for everyone around us. When the dogs or horses get loose, my sister, my friend, they always go in search of them. And when called by name, those critters eventually come. And when they get home, they get treats and a safe place in which to live. And for at least a while, they remember that life in the fenced-in yard with the wide gate is really a pretty good place to be. But to be sure, when we go astray, God doesn't give us a treat when we come back to God's side. Life with God doesn't work that way. Faith in God does not bring anyone material rewards, okay? We're not dogs. But here in the 10th verse of the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus promises abundant life to those who hear his voice. The abundance is the feeling of welcome, the security of being wanted, of being recognized as someone significant to someone more powerful and wonderful than we can imagine. Abundant life is the restful peace we feel, remembering that in God, all is well. Abundance is found in the simplest of things. Often, after pawing to be let through the door, I would let little princess into the room with me, and after exploring the space a bit, nuzzling my hand for a good scratch, she'd settle down, curl up beside me for a nap. And all was truly well between us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand and join me in singing hymn number 170. And this is a surprise to Dorothy because I haven't said anything to her, but I'm not sure how familiar this hymn is, so I'm going to have her play through the whole thing one time before we sing.
Lord, my shepherd, I
Will you please rise, or you able, so we can claim our faith using traditional words of Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into hell. The third day he rose
into heaven
and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in God the Father Almighty. Communion of saints, forgiveness
of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us raise our hearts to God in prayer. O shepherding God, we are ever grateful that you have called each of us by name. And hearing your voice, we have found new and abundant life. We are thankful for the love you have showered upon us, love which we see in the actions of friends and family members, as well as those of strangers who surprise us with kindness. Bless them, O Lord, that they may always feel secure in your love and know that all is well with you. And though we feel the peace-filled shalom of your mercy and the hope Christ has shown us, we still bear concerns of our hearts, which we share now with you. We pray for the whole church, that we may be devoted to your word and to universal fellowship, being generous to all who have need. We especially pray for the churches of the Synod of the Covenant, as all of us continue to search for faithful new ways to express your love in the world and to be the body of Christ to all we meet. We pray for the earth, for green pastures and still waters, that we may restore them to the goodness and purity they had at the time you created them. We pray, too, for the creatures of places inundated with floodwaters or are parched from lack of water. Help us find ways to mitigate the swings of moisture and temperature that blend with your great design for creation so that life may flourish. We pray for the people of the world, their nations and leaders. May your wisdom and peace govern all so that no one will fear. We especially lift up to you the people of Sudan and Ukraine and Haiti, all places where violence rules the streets. Make their ways safe and give these people rest from such onslaughts. We pray for all those in need, women and men struggling to piece together enough cash to pay the security deposit and first month's rent so they can live more safely in a brick-and-mortar apartment than in a tent in a campground. We pray for those who are ill, especially family members, or are weak, or confused, or dying, especially dear friends. Let us be the banquet you set before them as we anoint them. Feed them and comfort them in your name. And today we ask you, as our good shepherd, to ensure that none need live in the valleys of darkness and fear. Instead, may they live in your presence the rest of their lives. For you are the great shepherd who gives us goodness and mercy and leads us down right paths, restores our souls, and who sent your Son to be the door to you. Your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Please stand and join me in singing our final hymn, number 540. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, the day when we remember that through Jesus, God has called us all home, all to be by God's caring, loving, comforting side. God will be with us, always is with us, and all is well with God for those who have entered through the door that is Jesus Christ. So go out into the world and share this good news with all you meet. Share the comfort and love of the Good Shepherd. But go knowing that you go with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us all together as one flock. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Oh, Thank you.